flat line.
Oh my god. I feel like I need to sneeze.
You should.
Oh boy. Let me look at this light. This is terrible. I hate it. Oh god, stop.
You should do allergy commercials.
Okay, I'm going to try and go. I can't get it. It's up there good.
You got this. You got this. Feel the burn. Do it. I can't do it. Yes, you can.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers. Featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Hey Chris, what episode is it?
Episode 22 of Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah, and what's my name?
Your name is Prometheus.
Prometheus, yes. I'm the bringer of fire, the kindler of knowledge in this world, Chris. I brought a gift from the gods.
You will refer to me as Robert Duvall.
Only if you talk like him. Oh, please do a Robert Duvall impression.
I don't even know. I could just be like,
This is...
Hey.
Hey. This is Robert. This is Robert Duvall.
That's evil Robert Duvall. Ooh, that's Robert Duvall from the new Satan flick this summer.
Give me the missing half of the talisman. Robert Duvall means business.
Oh, shit, the monkey's paw, that was it? Oh, fuck, I ate that on the way over.
I boiled it for soup.
Just wish on my belly.
Monkey's paw soup is really good, but it never comes out the way you intended it to.
Nope, it never does. Like most short stories I read in seventh grade.
Yeah, pretty much. So how do we want to get this started? I want you to give me a story. I don't want to start us off this time.
Oh, you don't?
No. I've got some, but I want to play this. I want to play this round close to my chest.
Bullshit.
Chris, no, I never sleep on the pre-pro. Okay.
Seriously, bullshit. A British man with a fetish for cow manure has been sentenced to 2 years in jail after he was caught sexually pleasuring himself while covered in dung on a farm in southwestern England. 41-year-old David Truscott was found by a farmer totally naked apart from a single sock. When officers arrived, he was covered in a large amount of manure and was surrounded by tissues.
So he's worried about the cleanliness of what he's doing while
I guess so.
Yeah. And you think, oh my god, get that cow poop all up in my crevasses. Ooh, my own semen. Blah.
Blah.
I think terrible.
I'm allergic to that. Hey, you want to have your mind blown further?
Yeah, blow it.
It was the third time he was caught in similar circumstances on the same farm. This time he was violating a restraining order.
This dude's straight ballsy.
He has been previously jailed for offenses linked to this fetish.
Good on him. That requires a certain level of self-knowledge that I don't know. I don't think a lot of us are able to access. This guy knows what he wants, he knows what he needs, and he goes after it. Consequences be damned. If this took place in America, I'd call him an American hero.
Why not? We throw that out there just like, he's an American hero. That's an American hero.
We being us here on the show or just in general?
People in general are like, he's an American hero.
Yeah.
The only American hero is G.I. Joe and Brett Baer from Fox News.
And Brett the Hitman Hart.
Yep, that's him.
Did he die? He died, right?
Yeah, he did. He did, yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure.
No. Owen died.
Oh, yeah. Owen Hart.
Owen's the one that fell from the rafters.
Yeah, he fell down. He fell down like Spider-Man. Yeah, so this guy, I mean, are they going to try something to, like, keep him from doing that again? Because obviously what they've done before hasn't really worked.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's this is kind of like terrorism. You can squash it and you can educate people about the dangers of it, but they're still going to do it.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, why don't they get somebody to follow him around, just really kind of get all up in every aspect of his life, you know, just be on him like stink on. Well, him.
I don't even know, man. All I know is that I just somehow connected a manure fetish to terrorism. So,
and I didn't call you on it.
Too bad I wasn't grown and educated during the Bush administration.
God, yeah.
I would have had a nice staff job there.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, you're seeing that. You're seeing that like I'm seeing, you know, signs of the end of the world. But I don't know. Just the if I don't sound shocked by the fact that there's a guy who has a poop fetish, it's because the internet has ruined me.
Yeah, it probably has.
Yeah.
We fought wars for less.
We have. I just do you know about sneeze fetishes, Chris?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? Yeah. Uh-huh. They fetishize sneezing. Like just seeing a girl sneeze in public, you know, just makes them, oh God, just like rock hard. Or just kind of like, oh, I'm, you know, like stifling a sneeze or something like that. And like, you know, I'm kind of painfully vanilla in that regard. I kind of am jealous of people who have really, really simple fetishes like that. I mean, we've covered the $700 sex swing here, right? Like those fetishes that require $10,000 just to adopt it. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to get such primal pleasure out of something that simple, something so readily accessible.
Blech.
You know, and I guess the not the shit, Chris, the sneezing, okay?
Oh.
But I guess it's readily accessible if this guy's gotten it from the same source three times. The tendency is to say, ew, weird, but I kind of marvel at that. But then on the other side is like the people who like lust after stuff that's not real. Like, you know, I want to have sex with one of the blue people from Avatar and I'm never going to get to. So I'm going to talk on these forums all day and night.
No doubt. You know what else is painfully vanilla?
What?
A London borough council confiscated breast milk ice cream being sold in a shop in the city's tourist district over fears it could contain hepatitis viruses.
Hmm.
The ice cream, dubbed Baby Gaga, or Baby Gaga, by the ice cream shop maker Ice Creamus, is made by combining a liter of donated breast milk from a single woman with vanilla pods and lemon zest.
Huh.
The shop's founder, 44-year-old Matt O'Connor, was outraged at the council's sanctions and claimed that he took every possible precaution when preparing the ice cream. Our donor was screened at a leading medical clinic, and then the ice cream mix is fully pasteurized, he said. We have a fantastic response, and 200 women have come forward and offered to give us milk. Don't go thinking these women are American heroes.
Why?
Because the lactating mothers are paid $24 for every 10 ounces of breast milk that they supply.
Oh, that's money in the bank. There's gold in them there hills.
Yes, there are.
By those hills, I mean those breasts.
$24 for 10 ounces.
Huh. Hmm. Wow, that's... Oh, how expensive is this ice cream? Jesus.
I don't even know. I don't even know how much a scoop of that goes for, because I don't really care. I would never eat that.
Of course, it's disgusting.
And I and the people that do, I really don't want to know them.
It's a delicacy, Chris. It's kind of like yak milk.
No, that's not a delicacy in any way, shape, or form.
Well, I guess it is if you want to look at the textbook definition of a delicacy.
It's perverse.
How so?
It's perverse.
I mean, we drink cow's milk.
Act your age, adult. Stop drinking booby milk.
I guess what I'm trying to say is like, okay, if that's your problem, can we feed it to kids?
Absolutely not.
Why not? They're going to be like just it. I have to disagree with you here, Chris.
Oh, all right.
I mean, like, okay, so the definition, the only thing it needs to be a delicacy is, you know, a choice or expensive food. So do you think it's wrong that China, you know, in China, they prepare tiger penis for you to enhance your sexual prowess?
No, you totally changed my opinion. I agree with you. I wasn't very passionate about this subject.
No, okay. I'm just gonna say, yeah, it's weird. I don't know.
You don't know what?
I don't know. Maybe okay. Give me some. I want it. Let me try it. Could be really good. I don't know. Well, I guess does that depend on what she eats? Like, do we make sure that she's only grass fed to get the best? To get the best product.
I'm just going to sit back and let you tell jokes to yourself. This is fun.
Sorry. Excuse me, is this free-range breast milk?
Yes.
she only jogged in the neighborhood. She didn't jog. She didn't jog on the treadmill.
Was she one of those basement mutants?
I'm just picturing women like all like pent up in cages with machines attached, and I'm slightly aroused,
looking all gray and sick, kind of like their arms flailed out and just like milking machines on the front of them.
Keep going.
Being pumped up to the TCBY.
All with Powerhouse playing in the background.
No wonder it's so loud at Cold Stone.
They have those monstrous forearms in the
fucking covering up the noise from that sweaty, nasty, noisy milk shop downstairs.
When you tip them, they sing. When you ask where mommy went, they chant.
Yeah.
God. I just, I don't know.
When you ask where mommy went, they get out a special container of gummy bears. Sleepy gummy bears.
You wake up on a barge. Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
That did happen.
Wake up inside of a boot.
God, I guess my point stands, Chris. I just, if we're going to drink, where do we draw the line? It's okay to drink cow's milk. It's okay to drink buffalo milk, yak milk, all these things. I mean,
I don't even know. Speaking of where's mommy, a three-year-old has asked the police if they found his mommy's weed. Police officers in Austin, Texas, say they were questioning a woman about some outstanding warrants when she began acting suspicious, eventually prompting her three-year-old to ask if they had found his mommy's weed. She was pulled out of the vehicle in which she was riding, and one officer noticed scattered marijuana around the seat's floorboard. As police searched the vehicle, the three-year-old boy started to chat with officers and eventually asked, "Are you taking my mommy because you found her weed?"
Huh.
She was found to have three outstanding warrants and a trophy for World's Best Mommy.
She turned the trophy for World's Best Mommy into a killer bong using only one of those bear-shaped honey containers.
No doubts.
Oh, man. From the mouths of babes, Chris. See, that's why you have to get the kids hooked early. That way they learn shame about it and say, "This is awesome, right? Isn't this weed great, little Tommy? Isn't this weed great?" And then boom, they're hooked.
Are you going to say something? Did you do anything?
Can I tell you about another three-year-old, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, three-year-old was with his babysitter when, bit off more than he could chew because, Mark R. Adams, a 48-year-old, pled guilty for felony child abuse in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Adams was babysitting the three-year-old boy and watching vampire-themed programming. He then proceeded to, quote, play vampire and bite the child on the neck three times, strongly enough to draw blood. He was sentenced to 30 days in jail. Chris, that's just, it's wrong. It's wrong that this man, all he was doing was trying to give him a gift, trying to induct him into the society of the night, giving him not just immortality, but a thirst for power. You know what, Chris? Get him hooked young. Make them into weed vamps, okay?
Vampires are hot this year.
Vampires are hot every year.
No doubt. What's up with vampire stuff?
God, man, I don't know. With you being the owner of a daughter,
the owner of a brand new shiny little girl.
Well, no, I mean
she's a lease return at this point.
But is she is she into the supernatural vis-a-vis the vampire issue?
No, I don't think so. Don't think she's into vampire stuff. And while we're on the vampire subject, I'm gonna throw this out there.
Okay.
Because a Memphis, Tennessee man has been sentenced to 3 years of probation for stabbing a man who refused to let him suck his blood.
Damn it. I don't get it. All that they want is your blood. Chris, do you need all your blood?
I don't. No idea. I don't. I think I can lose like a liter.
There is so much blood inside of us, Chris. You could give a gallon of your blood. You don't really need all of it. Okay.
Oh, really? Huh. I should think about that. But this guy says 24-year-old Aaron Homer pled guilty to aggravated assault. The 25-year-old victim, Robert Malley, once let his roommate suck his blood, but when he refused a second time, he was stabbed.
He just wanted more of the blood.
The victim said the two men were into, and I quote, vampire stuff.
Vampire stuff.
So that dude that bit the 3 year old, he was just I'm just, what are you doing? I'm doing some vampire stuff.
doing vampire things.
Hey, what are you guys gonna do tonight? I don't know. Maybe we might watch a little bit of iCarly and then do some vampire stuff.
You know, skulk around at night.
Yeah. Maybe watch some Nick at Vampire Night.
It's the All Vampire Network for weed addicted vampire children.
I think we might.
Oh God.
That's how that's gonna go down.
That's just a simple night at home doing vampire stuff. I'm gonna tap this 3 year old like he's a maple tree and I want some syrup.
That makes sense. That makes sense because, like, you know, you're with your intimate partner and you're like, hey, can we maybe do something a little bit different tonight?
Yeah. Oh, you mean like dress up like a cop or
he or she says, well, you know, I mean, maybe we could just try some butt stuff. I mean, it's not a
with the butt stuff. It can be.
It would be, but maybe.
But
I mean, if it's different.
Chris, can I ask you something about your premise here?
Sure.
Real quick. Is your premise that adding stuff after something makes it entirely permissible?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just trying some murder stuff.
Just have a
murder fetish, you know?
Yeah, we're just doing some of that genocide stuff, you know?
God.
That's all we're doing. But we're in costume.
We're in costume. I'm wearing an elaborate mask.
We are. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yar.
We've super glued a tiny sequin top hat to our head.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's what we've done. I got the idea from Sean Murder, who got himself into a sticky predicament when he didn't quite think through his Halloween costume. Tiny sequin top hat, rounded out his outfit, but rather than tie it on with a string, he super glued it to his head. He said, I had fabric glue, which is washable, but it just wasn't sticky enough. The next morning, an embarrassed Sean was in the emergency room at the hospital to have the formerly fashionable, now ridiculous headpiece removed.
That's a lie. It was never fashionable.
The best the doctors could do is cut off the top part of the hat, leaving the rim stuck to his scalp until it was off on its own.
So he has a perma-yarmulke?
Yeah, he does. But special thanks is given to the inventor of super glue, Dr. Harry Coover, who passed away this past Saturday at the ripe old age of 94.
Oh.
Yep. So, happy to sad.
Happy to sad. Well, I mean,
Just doing some melancholy stuff.
Yeah, it's a mix, hot and cold. Mm-hmm. Why do you think a hot fudge sundae works, Chris? Because life is about contrast and life is about flux. Okay?
Turn it up.
Turn up the flux.
Turn up the flux, turn down the contrast.
Increase the sharpness because shit's fuzzy.
Put on your reality glasses.
You're going to have to forgive me because there's a thunderstorm here in Cincinnati right now. That was not predicted. So,
and the thunder rolls.
Can we take a break from crime for a second, Chris?
We could.
I'm going to talk about some signs of the apocalypse.
Oh, good news.
All right. Now, when I say apocalypse and when I say the world's ending and we're all doomed, I'm not talking about some kind of biblical event. I'm not talking about, you know, the world blowing up or meteorites, although that's definitely possible. I'm talking about the dissolution of order. I'm talking about the ultimate end of things as we expect them to be. Just, you know, not to quote Bill Murray, but dogs and cats living together, total pandemonium, et cetera, et cetera. Stephen King actually quoted a really good term for this in the Dark Tower novels, which basically is the world didn't end, the world moved on. So there are still people around, but what used to be left of civilization and the natural order of things is slowly coming apart at the seams. And I'm going to tell you about a couple of these things, okay?
Help me.
Now,
I'm so deep.
Man, a retired brigadier general named Dud Gordon has earned the ire of a fearsome enemy. Quote, I didn't pay much attention until the 13th of March. That was the first time I got hit. He was attacked again on March the 21st and again on March the 29th. The assailant, Chris? No, it wasn't an enemy. Human. It was a red-shouldered hawk defending a mate who is nested in Gordon's front yard in southern Florida. The bird dive-bombs the top of Gordon's head in a flurry of talons and beak. Quote, he flew into the tree, looked at me and said, how do you like that, sucker? Oh, man, this bird, it's a sassy bird, Chris. We got sassy birds flying around. Now, the bird also attacked Gordon's neighbor, a bicyclist, and a newspaper photographer who was called out to cover the attacks. Says Gordon, it only attacks men. It is a prejudiced bird. Now, I contend that the only prejudiced bird is Adolf Hitler, but, you know, that's just me.
What? Why do you do that?
Why do I do what?
You're like a goddamn ball and chain, dude.
What do you mean?
When you do stuff like that, you have the ball and the chain on your leg, and all of a sudden you go, hey, Chris, and you clink some handcuffs onto it and tie it to me. You take me down with you. You make me laugh at that stupid-ass shit. I don't like it.
You don't like it at all?
No, it makes my nose hurt when I shoot air out of it.
Adolf Hitler doesn't like black people.
And you did it again. Why did I let you do this to me?
Oh, God. I get it. I sneak it in at the very end, and I got you, you son of a bitch.
You're on my poop list.
You, sir, have made it to the poop list.
You are on my poop list.
How do you keep track of your poop list?
I don't know.
I keep mine on a roll of toilet paper. Whenever somebody gets added to it, I just pull out, I add to it, then I re-roll it, although it never goes on straight again.
That's a hell of an idea.
Yeah, that's my shit list.
I'm never gonna keep it on that.
Never do that. But prejudiced birds, Chris. So the intention right now is to have the hawk trapped and released elsewhere. But I mean, hawks are smart birds. I mean, we talked about. I mean, it's my aspiration to teach falconry in the north of Britain. So
yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Adolf Hitler. I want to write a novel, Chris. It's a fish out of water story, but it's not like a boy who was raised by wolves. I want to write a story where the main character is a falconer. He's been a falconer his entire life. And he has a kid, doesn't know about it, but just it sprung on him and left him after the mother died. It's kind of like that one TV show, Raising Hope. Except instead of, you know, raising hope in the crazy dad, he raises this kid as he would a falcon.
So like, instead of being a shitty TV show, it's a shitty novel.
But no, like when the kid misbehaves, he puts a hood over him. He feeds him. He feeds him small pieces of dried meat. That's all that he consists of. And he teaches the kid to hunt. And you know, he learns a little bit from the kid. And the kid learns a little bit from him. Although the kid is taken away at the halfway point by Children's Services, and he's forced to try and live as a falcon man in man's world. And the father is supposed to, you know, he tries to get him back. And society learns from Falcon Boy as well.
Is Wilford Brimley cast in this screenplay adaptation? Well,
Wilford Brimley is he is the child services agent who comes in and says, "Now, boy, that ain't right."
Nice.
That's what I think. And I think that, and you know, for the kid, it would only be right if we got Falcon Heaney to play the boy.
Yeah.
The balloon boy.
Either Falcon. I'm sorry. I was just you know, testing John Ratzenberg as the dad.
I drop a Falcon Heaney reference in the middle of 2011 and nobody laughs.
Either Jesus. Falconry.
God damn it, man. Can I tell you about another sign of the apocalypse, Chris?
Sure.
Okay. What about sinkholes? Right? That's scary. The world opening up beneath us. A 20-foot wide, 4-foot deep sinkhole opened up outside an elementary school in Lake County, Florida. Now, the hole is not actually beneath the building, and classes won't be affected, so students are still going to be there. Chris, that just lulls us into a false sense of complacency.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we should be alarmed by that shit, because our Earth is coming apart at the seams.
It really is, and that's why we should hail Lord Jesus.
What?
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
The holy apparition that appeared in a pizza.
They're not even trying anymore, are they?
In a purported miracle, the face of Jesus Christ has appeared on a three cheese pizza made at Posh Pizzeria.
Well, three cheese for the Holy Trinity.
Mm-hmm. The Father, Son, and the Holy Mozzarella. No, the Holy Provolone. That is the King of Cheeses.
Yeah.
So Posh Pizza's Marie Phelan said her pizza oven was seemingly blessed with the presence of Jesus Christ, who chose a three cheese pizza as his medium. Phelan is convinced it's the Son of God, but she's certain it got there on its own. I can definitely say that it isn't a fake, she said. The three cheese pizza always comes out with very different colors, sometimes Christ-like.
Christ-like colors.
It's already proven a good luck charm. After discovering it, the owner of the store parked in a loading zone and didn't get a parking ticket.
Come on.
Really? Really?
I can call anything a miracle, Chris.
They actually, there's some debate as to whether the face resembles Jesus Christ or other well-known bearded men, like Kings of Leon lead singer Caleb Followill, actor Viggo Mortensen, and a long-haired Christian Bale.
Why the fuck is Jonathan Larroquette on my pizza?
I have no idea. God. But the director of the Institute for Catholic Identity and Mission, Patrick McAlder, said the pizza was almost definitely not a miracle. Well, thank you.
Wait a minute. And then
it would be hard to prove that it was.
Since when is anybody representing Catholicism or any major organized religion the voice of reason in these things?
I have no idea, but he chimes in hard.
Does he?
He says there are a lot of misunderstandings in the making of saints and miracles. Generally, only medical miracles such as healings are accepted by the Catholic Church because those incidents could be tested using scientific means. He says, in conclusion, you have to understand we can't apply that kind of rigor to a piece of cheese. Really?
God. Bless that man.
All the stupid shit that you guys do, and we draw the line. Can't do that with cheese.
Bless them.
Not cheese. This is not gonna happen.
This is like branding control. This is like Xerox putting out a campaign saying, hey, like, that's called photocopying. It's not Xeroxing. This is Catholicism saying, hey, we might lose control of our trademark if just anybody can create these images. Because if we're out here making saints, that's God. Jesus Christ, Chris. Jesus Christ.
Yep, that's the true story. But the bottom line is tonight when you go to sleep, and you need to place all your wishes and hopes and dreams in Lord Jesus.
God. Can I tell you about how the universe is going to end, Chris?
Can we take a quiz first?
Does this have to do with the end of the world? Because we're still technically in apocalypse territory.
Yeah, we can survive it afterwards.
Okay. Here we go. So I want to tell you, I did some research because I'm in a very apocalypse-minded mood.
No shit.
More so than usual, because I am convinced.
For at least the past 8 months, that's pretty much all you've talked about.
Do you think it's a cry for help?
Adolf Hitler? That was like that was it. Like, but he's gonna eat all of our hearts and we're all gonna die.
You can't see this because this isn't a video podcast, but I am pointing a gun at my head.
Bacon is taking over the world.
Chris, I'm not talking about things as trivial as bacon, although bacon is terrifying. I'm talking about the projected end of the universe, basically the way that things are going to pan out based on our mathematical and physical understanding of the forces at play in the universe. Okay, so I'm going to just kind of read these off. I have four ways that things just might stop. Okay, at a cosmic level, the first is the Big Freeze. The expansion of the universe causes an asymptotic decline in the universe and the universe's temperature towards absolute zero, resulting in heat death or the exhaustion of all potential energy. Because everything in this world, Chris, everything that is in this reality, the reactions are caused by energy moving from one point to another. So it's the chemicals that make us, but the things that make the chemicals are, you know, the heat dynamics and the stars and the inert matter that is changing on a day-to-day basis. So when there's no heat left, there's no potential energy, and there's nothing left, and everything just kind of freezes as the universe gets as big as it possibly can be. Meaning that although we feel that the world is big and empty and cold right now, it's just getting colder and colder and emptier and darker until there's nothing left.
So sad.
Also, there's the Big Rip. This is when... the universe expands so quickly. This is predicated on the idea that the expansion of the universe is as accelerating instead of decelerating. The universe expands so quickly that all phantom or dark energy will be exhausted, and all matter, starting with galaxies and working down to individual atoms, will be torn into inert particles. So this also involves the universe getting bigger and bigger, except... instead of like no potential energy and entropy and things like that, there's just nothing holding anything together anymore. So gravity dissolves, and the forces that bond the atoms of our bodies and the atoms of our world together, they just don't happen anymore. It's just it's like gray goo.
See, I heard this, and that's the reason that if you ask me, you've said in the past that you know people don't know me. You know, they know more about you because you talk too much.
I didn't say that, but continue.
You did say that. Go back and listen to the backlog. You said that in the conversation of whether I would rather be blind or deaf.
Okay.
You said people don't know me because you talk too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simmer.
Okay.
I am terrified of exponential growth curves.
You are.
I am scared as shit of those things because this is exactly what you're talking about, that the universe expands so quickly in the scheme of the overall life of the universe, an expansion that you're talking about that would be abrupt enough for us to realize what's happening as it occurs would be exponential.
Right.
And that is horribly crazy terrifying to me.
You have asymptotophobia. Which is a fear of asymptotes, which says that the
which is exactly. No need to continue.
Okay, cool. All right, I just wanted to make sure. I don't know how long it's been.
I don't like that.
But, it's terrifying.
Because
in a word, shit gets out of hand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the universe gets so obese, so fat, so quick. That your heart, your tiny little heart in relation to your massive body, just boom.
That's actually a very apt analogy. Boop. But yeah,
that's it.
That's it. We're done. Well, can we go the other direction, Chris? Maybe this will allay your fears, and it will convince you not to be afraid of that, because there's such a thing as not enough growth, right? Such as in the case of the Big Crunch, which is when the expansion of the universe halts and gravitational forces draw everything backwards into a reverse Big Bang, converging onto a singularity. Now, this theory revolves around kind of the ultimate symmetry of things, of the universe, and also the theory that the Big Bang, which spawned our own universe, was preceded by a big crunch of a preceding universe. So under this theory, the constant expansion and contraction, you know, kind of lends itself to multiple universes, one chained after the other. Another theory going along with that is that the same shit happens, and a sense of deja vu that we get is actually a tunnel into things that had happened in a previous universe. Now, what's not known is when the universe contracts, when it reaches the ultimate large size that I guess, you know, it starts to come back, the shit go in reverse. Nobody knows, but that's the idea, essentially. That's a theory called the Big Bounce, which kind of goes hand in hand with the big crunch.
Hmm.
Right?
Slingshot the moon.
Tom Hanks, Kevin Bacon. Robert Duvall.
Is he in that?
I don't know.
No, that was the Rocketeer's daughter. Never mind.
Okay. God. And can I give you the last one, Chris? And this is the one. This is the one that that terrifies me. There will be no end, and this relates to the theory of the multiverse. Alternate dimensions cascade from discrete variances in the universe that we know, resulting in an infinite number of daisy chain multiverses where things are ending, beginning, and stagnating in constant flux. This has to do with, you know, like quantum suicide and quantum death and all those kinds of things. But just ultimately, there exists an endless stack of cards in this universe, you know, just kind of like one after another. And we just inhabit one of them. And every single discrete thing that happens, every choice that we make, splits things off into different routes. And, you know, just at any given time, the ultimate result of any decision that anybody has ever made, of every piece of random chance, is happening all at once in one big cosmic clusterfuck. It's terrifying, right?
I feel like my brain's been put through a blender.
Yeah, right? I know. That's how I feel all the time.
Good
shit,
Lord.
This shit haunts me.
No wonder you're stressed out all the time.
No wonder I laugh. No wonder I do this podcast, just to keep these demons under control.
And they are demons. Good Lord, man.
Oh, help me.
God. I'm so happy I'm not you. But you're a survivor.
Yeah.
You're going to make it.
Tell me about survivors, Chris.
Actually, I was hoping maybe you'd like to take a little bit of a quiz that I've put together.
Oh. Oh, kind of like my fake deaths?
Yeah, only in the tradition of me doing the exact opposite. We're going to go with spot the fake survivor story.
Mm. Yin and yang. For every action, there's an action.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For every mallet strike, there is a reaction.
So hit me. Well, what are the rules? Are they similar to just spot the fake, where I have to?
Exactly. I'm going to give you three scenarios, three survival scenarios.
Okay.
And you're going to tell me which one is not real.
Which one is not real? Okay.
Which one is not real? Which one is fake?
All right.
Which one is a ruse?
A ruse?
Yes.
Okay.
With two O's. Number one, Mike the Chicken escaped being served his dinner when he survived an axe being brought down on his neck. Bad aim caused the axe to miss the jugular and the brainstem of the 5.5-month-old rooster was not severed and he lived. Alexander Selkirk was left on an uninhabited island in the South Pacific in 1704. Left alone with only a musket, gunpowder, carpenter's tools, a knife, a Bible, and some clothing, he survived for 4 years in complete solitude before being rescued by an English ship in 1709. During a 1993 argument in a municipal parking garage, James Feringer ran over his wife, Vicky, not once but twice before speeding away. Unable to speak because the car had crushed her throat, Vicky was found 3 days later by a child that had accompanied his custodian father to work.
The third one.
That is correct.
Do you want to know my reasoning?
Yeah.
There's no reason to know that the father was a custodian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You went all algebra class on me.
it's deduction by reduction, okay?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Kind of like cooking meth.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Okay, hit me with the next.
Okay, so that's 1-0. That's, one you.
Okay.
My scenario is nothing.
Okay.
All right. Question number two. Number one of number two. Drugged and left for dead by a hitchhiker in the remote northern territory of the Australian outback, Mark Dugan survived 10 weeks by staying close to a river and eating snakes and frogs. He was found by a hunting expedition supervisor who had been exploring new routes to quickly get to remote kangaroo hunting outposts.
Okay. I want to hear the next two, but I think I already know.
When Saslau Magul was captured and sentenced to death by firing squad, he was shot 8 times by the squad, then once more at close range through the head. He feigned death until his shooters left, then miraculously escaped.
Okay.
Sophie Tucker, a cattle dog from Australia, fell overboard during a family yachting trip. The 4-year-old dog swam through 5 miles of shark-infested waters to a nearby island and then learned to hunt indigenous animals to live until her family finally tracked her down.
Oh, that's tough. I'm going to have to go with number one.
That is correct.
Because nobody hunts kangaroos.
Yes, they do, actually.
Really? Yep,
the Australian government pays people to go out and hunt kangaroos because they're so overpopulated. Yeah.
It's kind of like how the bald eagle isn't really endangered anymore because they're basically like pigeons up in Alaska.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say the last one because of the unlikelihood of the dog being found again. I don't disbelieve that the dog could have survived.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because dogs are, you know, dogs are very wily creatures, and sharks don't like the taste of dog, so...
What? No, I mean, I got a dog.
Everybody knows that.
I got a shark friend. No, I won't touch him.
I got a shark friend. He helps me with my necklace making business.
I told him we were going to go to this Korean place for dinner. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. Don't like dog.
Come on. You can't follow my necklace making business joke with a Koreans eat dogs joke.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go to the last question. Question three. 4-week-old kitten Snuggles was flushed down the toilet by his 4-year-old owner because the child thought that Snuggles needed a bath. The cat was located by municipal workers in a sewer pipe.
Okay.
Julian Kopke survived after her plane crashed in a rainforest, blinded in one eye, with a broken collarbone. She followed a river for 9 days until she found a small cabin. She cleaned her worm-infested injuries and waited until an occupant came back and rescued her. Tour guide Paul Templer jumped into the river to rescue a passenger that had fallen in the water when a hippo sprung up and swallowed his head. He freed his body, levered himself out of the hippo's jaws, and swam to the surface before finally escaping. The hippo mauled Templer several more times, ripping off his foot, severing his arm, breaking his ribs, and tearing holes in his back and chest.
Okay. The last one is real because hippos are terrifying and they're the most dangerous waterborne creatures. Mm-hmm. Aside from various protozoa. Number two, I'm also going to say is real because it sounds pretty legit. Like nothing in that sounds very ludicrous to me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say number one because the fact that the kitten's name was Snuggles is not pertinent and it made me laugh. So I'm going to say number one was fake.
That's correct.
Chris,
God,
you can't
God
trick
damn you.
You can't God trick a trickster, okay?
Yeah, I know.
It was a good effort though.
I tried.
Well, like was my thought process sound? I mean, was that what got us through this?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't name the cat Snowballs too.
Okay.
But
Snowballs.
You know, just a little change. I pluraled it, so it was a little different.
God, Yeah, I like that. That was good.
But interesting story, though, about that the chicken that had its head cut off.
Yeah?
It toured the United States for like 15 months and was like a famous like fair freak show chicken.
Uh-huh.
Because it had no head.
It had no head, but it had a brainstem, so it could still, you know, go about and do stuff, right?
Really, probably doesn't take a whole lot to be a chicken, but yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, that's racist, Chris.
Mm-hmm. That is just racist, and I won't accept it.
You know, that's just
not accept that.
That's just the kind of thinking that got Adolf Hitler into office.
There's only one wall between peoples that exists, and that's between us, the neoconservative Christians like you and me, and the Muslim people.
Can I tell
and
you?
And it's fundamental and it's rooted in culture, and I can tell you why.
Okay. I'm listening, but not really. But go ahead.
This is just one example of the reasons why we will never be friends with them.
Okay.
Hundreds of thousands of Afghan people gather together to celebrate Nowruz, the Persian New Year. And in addition to the customary food and ceremonies, festival goers enjoyed one of the region's oldest spectator sports, camel fighting.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right here and say that sounds awesome, but go ahead.
Never going to be friends with these people.
Continue.
Spectators gather to watch male camels in a 10-minute showdown. Dun, dun. Dun, dun.
Two camels, one dream, one prize, no survivors. Don't go.
Slamming necks, butting heads. Until one animal is forced to the ground or flees.
Oh, I mean, I'm just picturing how that shot, the one camel goes to flee, and it's all one fluid shot. The camel flees off into the sunset, and one of the official pulls out a rifle and shoots him, and he says, "Cowards do not live."
His humps are all downtrodden.
Yeah.
There's only one time a year when a camel's emotions are running rampant enough for match organizers to entice the beast into battle.
Oh, right.
That, of course, is mating season.
Yeah, when they're in rut, so they send them out. They send them out when they're in the mood, because the desire to fight and the desire to fuck, they're exactly the same on a biological level. And I can't get the courts to recognize that, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. Turkey, interestingly enough, is the world's camel wrestling capital.
Okay.
Recently, injuries have forced some fight organizers to stop using seductively...
Sudoku!
Sudoku. They cannot use Sudoku anymore. Also, they cannot use seductively posed females to rile up the hairy gladiators.
Rile Up the Hairy Gladiators is a great prog rock band name.
We are a bunch of riled up hairy gladiators.
Oh my god.
However, in lieu of being enticed by the seductively posed females,
yeah.
camels are now starved.
You're
building up anger months before the match.
You're a dirty girl, aren't you? You're a dirty camel.
You're a dirty girl.
Yeah, fight for this
slut.
Oh,
man. How many other camels' water do you have in that hump?
Hump this rump.
Oh, God. That's filthy.
Chris, hump this rump.
Oh.
can I make two things clear? I'm not an evangelical Christian, and I am also
neoconservative
Christian, and I am also I also think this is horrible. But Chris, I'm having trouble paying attention here. I just you're jumping from one topic to the other, and I'm really just I don't know what to do. But there's a teacher in Lexington, North Carolina, who knows what you can do when you. You know, can't pay attention. This teacher teaches fifth grade, and he is in trouble following accusations that he was forcing students to tie themselves to their desks. Now, whenever two problem students with ADHD were misbehaving, the teacher would order the restraints, which is wrong, according to the alleged victim's parents. Now, of course, the principal had to come out and run interference for this. And the only thing that she had to say was, my concern was if something was to happen, a fire was to break out or something, he's restrained. Something really bad could have happened. She goes on to say, now, he was having them tie themselves, and they knew exactly how to do it. He calls it a seatbelt. When he doesn't, when the students don't listen, they put him in a special seatbelt. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
She said that no restraints were used or authorized unless they were prescribed. What's up with little Timmy over there? Yeah, Dr. Jameson wrote him a prescription for a gimp suit. Very good, Timmy.
Dude, restlessness is terrible.
I hate it.
It's awful.
Can I make an admission to you, Chris?
Yeah.
I think I have adult onset ADHD.
Really?
I don't know.
Maybe. I know that I think that I have RLS.
What's restless leg syndrome?
Yeah.
See, I thought that was made up.
No, I don't think so.
Huh.
No, they've been doing lots of studies about it lately.
Okay. It seemed kind of like a fad. I don't know.
No, RLS, no. Man.
Oh, that sucks. Does it like keep you up at night?
Yeah. It's like a tickling or burning sensation. It just builds up in my legs and then it just settles down and then it just builds up again.
See, I picture it like a like you know, your legs are like flailing, like you're running like you're in a dream and you're running a marathon and your legs are going, but that doesn't make any sense because you'd be thinner.
No, it's like totally it's like an irresistible urge to like move my legs.
That fucking sucks. Like, have you noticed that since that, you know, has started happening to you that you that you're a better dancer?
Not really.
No? I mean, no. Like marginally, would you say?
No, it's not even really funny. It's torturous.
I'm sorry.
It's awful.
I'm sorry. I'm making light of your condition.
And they've got these, like, they have, like, apparently it's linked to dopamine.
Yeah. Well, just like ADHD.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, which could help me this, you know. Dopamine is a problem with that, and it's a problem with the restless leg syndrome, which I have.
And it's a problem with addiction, too.
And I guess that there's dopamine drugs that have been proven to be an effective treatment for both of those things.
Yeah.
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 But you know what the good news is?
What is the good news?
The body can produce a ready supply of dopamine.
Can it?
Yeah. In a recent study, manual penile stimulation was performed by volunteers.
Okay.
With the end goal of producing a wide variety of rewarding behaviors. Parallels are drawn between ejaculation and the heroin rush. Masturbation seems like a simple way for men to reproduce the effects of restless leg syndrome and apparently adult onset ADHD treatment drugs without the cost and side effects of using dopamine agonists.
I like that. I like that. It's a natural remedy. It doesn't hurt anybody. It doesn't cost anything.
Mm-mm.
It's kind of like running your own CBT. You just put a rubber band around your wrist and you snap it, right? Except in this case, you just sneak off into the restroom 5 or 6 times a day and whack it.
I got a real bad. I gotta go in for some skin treatment on my genitals.
Gotta take my medicine, man.
I yank the cover off. I don't know how.
It's called degloving, Chris. And no, don't do a Google image search for that.
I'm not gonna do that.
Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do a Google image search for a degloved penis.
That is not gonna happen.
I don't recommend it. No. I don't recommend it at all.
Not even gonna happen. Hey, Cole, do you have a pen and paper?
I have an index card and a pencil.
Why don't you write this down?
Okay.
We're going to do some gangsta math.
Gangsta math, all right.
Mm-hmm. 32 grams raw. Chop it in half.
Okay.
Get 16?
I did get 16 grams. I mean, are we keeping our units here?
Double it.
Okay, we're back to 32 grams.
Times 3.
All right, I'm looking at 96 grams.
We get 48.
Which is half of 96.
Which means we got a whole lot of cream.
How many grams of cream are we talking about?
Divide the profit by 4.
Okay, I'm seeing 12.
Subtract 8.
4.
We back to 16.
How are we back to 16?
Ask Foxy Brown in the song Affirmative Action.
I don't understand, because we have 4. Like, if you said, are there 4 people and this is how it's being split? So,
no, this actually won the Worst Mathematics in a Song Award.
See, it's bad, because he was right all the way up until the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, no, he probably just did 16 because it was because it rhymed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, like the top 10 most preposterous rap songs ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there actually are some lyrics in here that fit with your theme of like global catastrophe.
can you give me like one example, because we're almost out of time?
Can I just give you 2?
Okay.
No, 3.
Can I give you 3? Jesus.
They're one-liners.
Can we go for 2 more hours, easy. Cole? Okay.
Yeah, no. But the Lil Fame of M.O.P. in the song Half and Half says, "First Family," which I would assume is the group of rappers that rap in the M.O.P.
Okay.
"First Family will gradually lift that ass up like gravity."
I like that.
"Cannabis" in the song Funkmaster Flex Freestyle says, "I can double my density from 360 degrees to 720 instantly."
Density isn't measured in degrees, you dumb fuck.
Yeah.
That's weight by volume, you shit.
There is a byline on this that says, "Cannabis slept through 10th grade when they went over units of measure."
God. So
kudos to the writer of this, because it's pretty witty. But, and then from like somebody who's totally famous, Jay-Z in the song It's Hot, 38 revolve like the sun around the earth.
Well, okay, let's be clear here. Jay-Z is actually very much against Aristotelian physics. Okay,
he's so ecocentric.
He doesn't think. He doesn't believe in a heliocentric universe, and I can't blame him. Look at the amount of terror that line of thought has brought to us.
Yep. There's only one way to protect yourself.
Destroy the sun.
No. It's watch your back when you're walking. Watch your mouth when you're talking. Keep your Glock cocked when you're crawling.
Hey, Chris, I'm gonna capture this. Let me put it on my to-do list. I need to contact my mortician, because that is what is going on to my tombstone. I was originally gonna make it, you know, be what you know, Royal Tenenbaum's you know, tombstone, which is Cole Ross died while valiantly saving his family from a sinking battleship. But
true stories.
Whatevs.
Yep. You need to cite that as Mike Jones from the song Scandalous Hose.
What does that even mean?
You will definitely need to have a quote from Scandalous Hose on your tombstone.
Can I have you read that at my funeral in 2 years?
Hold on a second, because I'm picturing this, because I do that. This is fucking depressing and horrible.
Sorry.
I do. I think about you Googleizing people.
Okay.
All the time. Like what I would say at their funerals. And I have never thought about yours.
Okay, yeah.
But now that I am, I just, there's like the, like a, like this just dick sized red candle in front of me.
Okay.
And I say, "He watched his back when he was walking. He watched his mouth when he was talking. He had his Glock cocked when he was crawling."
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So, hold on a second. Yeah, this is the part of the show when we say go to our YouTube channel, sorry.
Yeah.
And check it out, because we're putting up new videos every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We might have made a mistake in labeling a video "sexy babies." And the reason that I say that is because it turns out that the majority of our viewers on our YouTube channel are ages 13 to 17 and male. So, I mean, that explains why the views for masturbation averages have gone significantly lower. Because they must have just figured out that there's really not sexy babies on here. And that video just kind of went down.
So. 91% of our viewers are male. 9% are female, but we are extremely popular in the female 18 to 24 demographic, which I think is the best demographic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but a good 42% of our overall viewers are 13 to 17, which is a little bit upsetting. So please go to that YouTube page and look at stuff. Share those, pass them around, retweet them, favorite them, and post them on your Facebook wall, or whatever the fuck people do on Facebook. You can also go to Those Damn Ross Kids, which I assume is part of how you found this show to begin with. You can subscribe to us. You can give us a review on iTunes. We need to get up there in them rankings. So if you have been listening to us for a while and you haven't reviewed us, that would be a super way to show us some of your support. And then there's always the money thing. You can go to thosedamnrosskids.com/donate, and there's a little PayPal link there. It's entirely not necessary. All that does is help us defray bandwidth costs, and anything above and extra from that goes towards possible equipment upgrades in the future, and maybe buying some ads for the show. You know, who knows?
True story.
Yeah. Is there anything else I'm forgetting, Chris?
Yeah, the fundraiser.
Oh.
You forgot about the fundraiser.
Are we selling cookies or jump ropes?
No, our podcast is dying.
Damn it. Chris, yeah. I don't... Do we want to say this to the kids?
What?
I mean, do we want to say this to the kids?
Yeah.
Okay, well then tell them. You know, the cat's out of the bag now.
All right. Your mom and dad are getting divorced because they don't love you.
Damn it. We didn't want to be the ones to tell you. It kind of seems way out of scope for us. It's not something that we really have a right to do.
Yeah, don't listen to the guidance counselor. It is your fault.
Yeah, no, just it's complicated and it's nuanced. But I think that what we want you to know is A, it is kind of your fault because they were much happier before you came along. But B, we're here for you.
We're so dating ourselves.
What? Because we reference guidance counselors?
Parents don't get married anymore.
No, they don't. Yeah, mommy and daddy are living in sin. Are they really mommy and daddy if they're not married? I don't know. The world's ending. Just the societal forces that used to hold us together are now tearing us apart. We are being strangled on the bungee cords that once bound society together.
Daddy and Steve are no longer commitment ceremony together anymore.
But we want you to know that no matter how sinful your progenitors are, we're here for you at Those Damn Ross Kids, and we want you to have a beautiful life, and we want you to have a beautiful night. So good night.
Good night.